Welcome back to Home Design Chat with Nancy, and I am your host, Nancy Hugo. If you're remodeling or building a new home, you don't want to miss these podcasts. Well, today is December 10th, and I have been saying for the past 2 months, Christmas is almost here, and right now it's around the corner. And I bet you you're trying to figure out what to give your friends for a gift for Christmas or Hanukkah. We're right in the middle of Hanukkah, so I'm sure you're thinking of that too. Giving gifts is really difficult, and it's one of the hardest things that I ever do. And if you give the wrong gift, no big deal. They can stick it in their closet. They can pull it out when you come to visit. But what about giving a plant? How difficult would that be? You know, if they're plant people, fine, but do they have allergies? Do they have a green thumb? Do they really want to take care of a plant? Well, we have Joe Zazera here. He is my plant guy. He's the owner of Plant Solutions in Scottsdale, Arizona. And we're going to talk about the plants for Christmas or any other holiday. But hey, Joe, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Well, thank you. Well, hopefully we're going to be helpful in letting people know what plants they should or should not give to their friends or enemies, or maybe if they give the plant, they will turn out to be an enemy. I don't know. I am a plant person, as you know, Joe, and any plant would be welcomed in my house. As I have said last time we talked, I do have a Christmas cactus, which I found out was a Thanksgiving cactus. I mean, who knew? And I'm waiting. I will let everybody know if I see the blossoms. I'll be so excited. But anyway, let's get started, because we talk about plants all the time. And I think one of the more important things, if you're going to give a gift for somebody and it's going to be a plant and they have pets, they should really think about the poisonous or the reaction that the animal will have if they decide to munch on the plant. Now, if you feed your dog enough, he shouldn't munch on a plant, right?
But that's correct.
If he goes hungry, he might start. I know I see dogs out in the yards eating grass, and there's a special reason for that I won't go into. But what plants should people stay away from if their friend has a pet and they want to give them a plant as a gift? What are the big no-nos?
Well, so the funny thing about plants, and there are certain plants that are toxic. But I also think that a lot of it has been blown out of proportion. Like, for example, I tell people, if a human was to ingest a poinsettia, for example, or even a pet to ingest some of a poinsettia, they would have to eat a whole bunch of it, number one, to kill themselves. I don't think, they're not, the plants are not venomous, for example, but there is a possibility that they could get sick. I mean, it's good practice to keep your plants away from your pets and not have them do that. Before I get into the plant types, I will say you prompted a memory of when my children were little, for example, and we had a lot of plants around the house. And at first we would start, they would crawl around the house and they would tip them over and we would pick the plants up and put them away. But then we realized it's like, if we just leave them there and let them acclimate to the plants, then they will no longer, they will figure out what they are and then no longer bother them. And that's kind of what happened with our children. But in terms of plants for gifts around the holiday, I do think the zygote cactus, which you call the Christmas cactus or the Thanksgiving cactus, is a wonderful plant. Typically, they're planted around March or so, and then they'll flower sometime between November and April. I mean, November and March, they'll have these beautiful little buds, flowers coming out of their segments. I think in terms of, and they can be a good long-term gift. If you take, for example, a poinsettia, they're mostly a decor plant, something that people bring them to parties, people give them as gifts, but typically it's just a decoration that gets disposed of at the end of the year. There are a lot of people will try and keep them and grow them, and I've seen people have success you know, some people say, well, you put them in the closet in the summertime and they'll flower red in the winter, all that. We've never been, as a company or as a person, I've never had the patience or willingness to kind of, you know, mess with that because I'm not a grower. But point is, I do think the zygote cactus, the Christmas cactus, is a very good plant to give. It's very festive. It shows up when you, if you come to a party, you're giving it to as a gift, you know, is very, you know, awe-inspiring. People notice it right away, and it will do well long-term. It will not flower all the time. It will do really well long-term. One of the plants that I wanted to talk about that is gifted a lot is the spathiphyllum. And often we see these come from florists or, you know, they're given as gifts. They're actually they tend to be a very temporary plant because they're so, you know, they dry out and you probably have seen them. If you know what the plant is, they just lay down. And then you water and they perk right back up.
But what happens in that wet dry cycle? Is it considered?
It is a lily, yes.
Okay, if you're going to use the scientific names, you have to really say the spathiphyllum, but we call it the lily because most people don't know the real things. Yeah. But they're the ones that make the white flower.
They have a white flower and then has the dust that comes up. Yeah. So they're a good plant, but again, they're kind of a throwaway plant. And, you know, so I think that, you know, we talked off air about, you know, the proper plant, the right plant. And I don't know if there's a proper or right plant. What I do think is that you kind of have to buy, for the person that you have to know a little bit about the person that you're shopping for. I mean, are they someone that would care for plants? Do they have a lot of plants? Do they even like plants, for example? And so then you kind of, maybe that will help direct you towards A, whether or not to buy them a plant, and then B, you know, you should be buying them, you know, something that will be fairly hardy and should do well. So,
okay. I want to go back to the Christmas cactus or Thanksgiving cactus. This thing that I got is now a year old. I am shocked that it's still alive, number one. And it, like you said, it makes a beautiful plant. When it's flowering, you can give it to somebody, but they also have to care enough to look up the whys and wherefores. You can't overwater that plant, and it can't have direct sun. But I get a kick out of the growing season. I got those little, whatever you call those little leaves. I don't know.
Segments. They're called segments.
Segments, yeah. Mm-hmm. They pop up all the time. So I have it right in front of my window by my sink. So I'm checking that thing every time I wash dishes. It's not the kind of plant that you want to put, you know, in the back room and you'll visit it once every 6 months. But but it is interesting the way it grows.
And has yours flowered yet? No.
No, I did for 1 week have darkness for 12 hours, light for 12 hours.
You try it.
And according to that, it should be flowering around Christmas morning. I will be shocked if it does.
Well, we'll see.
Right, it's an experiment. I will let everybody know that, hey, I got up and I saw the flowers in this beautiful plant. I love it. Mm-hmm. Going back to the lily or the spathiphyllum, is that an Easter time plant or is that all year round?
I see them all year round. And again, as you know, our company, you know, we do installations and maintenance around the Valley and we do not specify that plant on any of our projects for the reason that it just does not hold. It's very, not that it's temperamental, it just does not hold up. It's not a very hardy plant.
Okay, so
it does
not hold up. So well,
it tends to start tipping.
Yeah. That's not a good plant to give to people.
No,
I know. Even if they're plant people, you don't want to give a plant that you need to baby. Who has the time for that? Mm-hmm. Nobody I know.
Right.
So I think something like maybe a jade plant.
Yeah. So any of the succulent varieties are pretty good. My two favorites, and we may have talked about one of these two on a previous podcast, but probably my two favorite are the ZZ plant, which is the Zamioculus. And the Sansevieria, any variety of Sansevieria plant. And why I like them is because they are extremely forgiving. And, you know, you can go on vacation for weeks and come back and they, you know, they'll still be just working along, doing their thing, cleaning the air, looking good. So, there's nothing worse than buying a a plant that is either not properly acclimated for indoors or is just the wrong plant for indoors. And just, you know, you struggle with it. Most people think it's all about them or the watering or whatever, but it might be obviously the condition in the environmental conditions of the indoor environment have a big effect on it, but it may not always be the person who owns the plant's fault. It may be the specific plant, where it was grown, how it was grown, that sort of thing. So because of that, I like these workhorses, you know, the Sansevieria, the Zamioculus.
Okay, wait, let's go back. Sansevieria, you got to give the current common name, which is the snake plant.
Well, so snake there's a few. Plant, there's a snake plant tongue. And a mother-in-law's tongue, yes. And they come in many different varieties now. There's so many. It used to just be the mother-in-law's tongue, which was the yellow and green. Mm-hmm. And now they're just, you know, there's a darker green and there's a compact version. And there's just many, many other, you know, versions that have been cultivated over the years.
Yeah. So, but I think it's a beautiful plant. It's not graceful. I got to say that. It stands up straight, great for contemporary decor. It'll last forever, except at my daughter's house where it died. And these plants will outlive anything. I don't know what she did. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful plant. So if you want to give that to somebody and they're not crazy about plants, but they don't have the time to baby it, I think Sansevieria or the mother-in-law's tongue would be perfect. Yeah. And what was the other one that you would suggest?
We talked about the jade plant and the Sansevieria, and we talked about the Zamioculus, the ZZ plant, very dark green, kind of shiny, you know, polished, very, you know, kind of, smallish leaf, you know, quarter size leaves.
So I looked that up and it's perfect for low light, perfect for the home or the office, but keep it out of the space for your children or your pets. It said, and it also said, wash your hands when you touch it or wear gloves.
Never heard of any of that.
So actually what you're saying is poo-poo on Google.
Well, again, I think that we have never had, I mean, 45 years I've been doing this, and I've never had anyone, you know, poisoned or die or, you know, of course they don't eat the leaves, but as far as washing your hands is just a good practice. So that's one thing. Okay. Anyway. But I've never seen anyone get any kind of illness or sickness or poisonous, you know, anything, you know, in their eyes or otherwise from a ZZ plant. So that's not, I guess, Google or not, that's not been my experience.
And it's a pretty plant. I mean, it's a dark green. It's semi-graceful. And does it grow fast or can you stare at it and it'll grow an inch a year? I mean, how does it grow?
No, it's a mid-range grower. So it tends to, it's a clumper, you know, so it clumps out, you know, at the, in the rhizome, in the root areas, and, you know, typically all the new branches or leaves, you know, come from the base of the plant, not from the top of the plant. But most of the time we see them just get overgrown and they have to be pruned back. They do so well. So, I mean, it just, again, it's one of those plants that you can not totally ignore, but if you hopefully you forget enough about it that it, you know, it matures, it does its thing.
So it doesn't need to be babied. You know, we were talking before about plants that need to be babied that I would never give as a gift to somebody who's interested in plants. Maybe they work, they don't have the time. And one of them is the African violet. I tried growing them. They definitely need your attention all the time, right?
Yeah, they do. I've never had luck with them. But I haven't worked with them that much either. So
they're pretty,
but they're beautiful. They're really pretty. They're just not, again, when you think about like what we do as a company, we want the most industrious, you know, hardiest plants that we can provide because we, you know, we're only on these locations every week to 10 days, you know, to do the maintenance on projects and on jobs. And so we want to make sure a few things. One, we have a really high quality plant, which we can talk a little bit about later, but a high quality plant and the, you know, the right plant in the right lighting and with the right watering and, you know, the right environment. So it's very critical.
Did you ever find a plant that did well in one place and did horrible in another place? And I'm talking about comparing, say, one office to another office since you do commercial.
Well, it's funny you say that. Yes, I have. And believe it or not, and you, believe this or don't believe this, but I've had the same plants, same types area in offices where people were really happy, where the plants thrived. And I've had the same set of plants in offices where people were really miserable and the plants did not do very well. So whether there's a correlation to that or not, I'm not sure. But personally, I mean, I've seen that happen over and over where, you know, there's just certain offices where there's, you know, certain energy or, you know, in the office or attitudes in the office that just are, for whatever reason, the plants don't do well there. Whether it's, whether it has to do with the personnel in the office or not, I don't really know. I'm not a scientist in that way, but I have seen, yes, to answer your question, I have seen plants in different locations do differently.
I heard that if you talk to your plants and say good morning and you actually talk to your plants, they will do better. So maybe in the office where the plants weren't doing well, the people totally ignored the plants. Maybe they'd yell at them.
Right. Maybe.
Also, did you ever hear that you can give your plant a little bit of coffee, you know, from your cup, not the grinds, but throw some coffee in? Does that hurt the plant or does that make it do better?
Well, it changes the pH of the soil. So I think it depends on the plant. Because this is very common in our service department where we'll have people, you know, in a well-meaning way, they dump their excess water in their plant on their way to the fountain to get a new glass of water, or they dump their excess coffee in the plant just because it's, they're thinking they're helping the plant. They're giving it extra water or whatever.
Could be root rot, right?
Yeah. Yeah. 9 times out of 10, it harms the plant, doesn't help the plant. So I've never read or seen experiments on, you know, the coffee, but I will tell you, I know it does change the pH of the soil, whether that's in a good way or a bad way. I don't really know. I mean,
Oh, too bad plants can't talk, huh?
Well, some people say they do.
Yes. Well,
plants do communicate. You know, there is research. Susan Samar did a bunch of research in the forest where she tested the root, the rhizome systems and the mycelium systems in that forest. And she found out, I'm not sure how she injected something. She figured out that the trees will communicate with them. So like they'll send energy to failing trees and plants that are having trouble just to kind of help perk them up. So they actually communicate underground. So they call it the wood wide web.
So it's like caregiving.
Yep.
The older trees take care of the sick ones.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
Very human-like, human-esque. Well, let's talk about Studio. I'll talk about Studio 41. And they are the perfect showroom if you're remodeling or building new. We have one in Scottsdale, which I use all the time as my source. And then there's about 11 of them in Illinois. So you people who live in Illinois, you're very lucky. If you don't live in Scottsdale area or Illinois, you can always go to shopstudio41.com. And that's the number 41, shopstudio41.com. So if you're looking for a perfect gift for somebody who's remodeling and they're not ready to take plants, you can actually give them a gift certificate and they can go pick out their faucets or their mirrors or their handles for their cabinets. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff. So you can actually give them a gift certificate for Studio 41. That's a good idea, although the plants would be a great idea too. And the showroom in Scottsdale also has cabinetry and and all the plumbing and the handles. The ones in Illinois actually have tile and windows. We don't have that here, but don't forget to put them on your list. shopstudio41.com. Okay, what are we going to talk about now? I love talking about plants.
So, you know, one of the things I was thinking about while we were talking about this, you know, if people are looking for gifts for people, you can always find a beautiful decorative container and let people pick their own plant. Maybe, you know, you go to a really nice nursery and, you know, you may not know what plant to buy, but you really love this planter. So maybe you buy them this beautiful planter and maybe a gift certificate for a, for them to go back and buy a plant to put in the planter. That way they can kind of select their, you know, select their own plant.
That's a good idea.
Based on their decor. Because there's so many, quite honestly, there are so many beautiful planters nowadays. In the old days, you know, we had a very small selection of, you know, ceramic cylinders or baskets. In those days, we use a lot of woven baskets. Nowadays, there's just so many different types and so many different shapes and that sort of thing. So, anyway, that's just a suggestion, maybe.
No, that's good. The selection is unbelievable. Whether it's contemporary and you go with the square or the rectangular straight sides out of metal or concrete, which weighs a ton, or you go with something that's more traditional, but the bigger pots. The ones that are maybe 3 or 4 feet high, those are always beautiful. So that's a good idea to do that. And then make the person feel guilty if they don't hurry up and go get their plant.
Then when you come back to their home and you see the planter, but no plant in the planter, or they're filling it with their umbrellas, then at least they're using it, right?
Yeah, that's a good one. Or you say to the person, this is not a gigantic ashtray. I meant this to be a planter.
Right. Yeah.
So, we were talking about poinsettias. We know that people don't expect them to live past January 2nd, I guess. But when they do, how do you take care of those? Can you put them outside?
I've seen that, yes. No, actually, we have found, I think I told you as a company, we don't do that many poinsettias anymore, but we have found that they actually do a little better outside this time of year than inside.
Even in the
because
cold?
They don't like to be frozen, but they don't mind to be a little bit chilly. Yeah.
Okay. They happen to live into July, and everybody knows
they can't be outside in July,
so they're going to have to dig them up and bring them in the house.
Well, yeah, I would say outside in the planter that they come in, maybe they're just set on the patio in a planter and then bring it in. Yes. Yeah. But certainly they'll grow. There, a lot of people don't know this, but there are euphorbia, which y'all have probably seen, euphorbia, Ingens type cactus. They kind of look like a little saguaro, the Ingens, but they're have a little bit of little spine on them. But they're succulent, so they maintain a lot of moisture inside the bracts of the plant itself.
Well, that's the little mini saguaro, but what about are you saying that the poinsettia can actually hold water?
Poinsettia is a euphorbia. Yeah.
And
if you break a bract of a poinsettia apart off, you'll see the white sap come out of it. That's the, succulents or the moisture that's retained in the bract of the poinsettia.
So I had a poinsettia and I was really good with it. And then all the leaves fell off. What do you do then? I mean, I threw it away, but I mean, is there life after that?
Yes. So that's typical after the holiday season for all the poinsettia leaves will all drop because after they turn red, they end up dropping and then they'll start growing out green leaves and they'll more than likely stay green. I've never known anyone that had anyone other than growers, I should say, that had great luck in getting them to recolor. So typically what you'll end up with is the poinsettia with a green leaf. Look like a poinsettia, act like a poinsettia, just green.
How do they get them to flower white or cream color or blue? Or are they spraying that blue?
No, there is. Well, that's they are doing that now with some orchids, but they're just a different variety. The colors are a different variety. They're bred that way. They're
are
bred
they
for
hardier
color.
If they're white? Are they all the same?
I have found that the white ones are a little less hardy.
Oh, good to know.
We have found that they're that they tend to be a little more fragile. The bracts aren't quite as thick and heavy. The leaves tend to drop a little more often and a little sooner. They're just a little more delicate. That's all.
Yeah, and personally, I think the red ones are a little more holiday look. The white ones they're wishy-washy. Unless you find a nursery that's giving them away and you want to save their life, I would stick with the red because it looks pretty.
Right.
And talking about those Christmas plants, what about those little mini Norfolk pines?
They're great. The Norfolk pine, excuse me, the Norfolk Island pine is a wonderful plant. It will work. It will, you can use it indoors year round. I mean, in the right lighting. It can't be in the dark, obviously, but they're fairly hardy, fairly inexpensive, fairly easy to acquire this time of year. And I have seen people actually buy them, use them as Christmas trees, and then keep them as a plant, in their home afterwards. So I've seen them planted outside, not with huge success, but if, in the right conditions, I guess, right lighting, shaded lighting, they I have seen them outside.
Can they take the cold? Can they be in a snowstorm?
No. I've never seen one in a snowstorm, but my instinct says no. I would not keep them in a snowstorm.
So that's more or less an indoor pine, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I did have one of those too that died. I could make a list of all my plants that die, and the ones that.
Let me ask you. So, do you think that you overwatered everything? I mean, is that because that's typical? But the number one, some of your viewers may know this already. The number one killer of indoor plants is overwatering, overcare, caring too much. Giving them too much love, however you want to call it. Most people just love their plants to death inside. That's very typical.
I don't remember.
Because they can't believe that they would let a plant go 10 days without a water. People cannot conceive of that, or they have a harder time conceiving that. But as we've talked about before, in order for root systems to develop, they have to go looking for water. And if a plant is always sitting in water, it doesn't have to do anything. So then things just rot.
Yeah.
If a plant has to dry out, or a plant dries out and the roots go, hey, we're thirsty, well, let's go find water. They start looking, growing to look for the water, then the plant will flourish and do better.
So it's easier if you let the plant dry out, and you can tell sometimes the leaves are going, okay, we're all wrinkled, just like your face when you don't have enough moisture.
Right.
It wrinkles.
So you're my age.
So you can give it water, but if you overwater, then you got to go through that whole thing about pulling it out of the pot, washing the roots, and making sure that you're not being stupid and too giving with the water. So it's better to let it dry out than it is to overwater. Right.
That's correct. So the recovery period, the recovering from underwater is much easier on a plant than trying to recover from overwater. Once a plant root system starts to decay and decompose, you just can't turn that back. It just doesn't go backwards. Whereas if a plant is underwater, the roots, they need water. They want water, but they're not, there's no moisture there for them to rot. Right. So the plant tends to rebound better and faster and quicker.
I was thinking a water meter would be a good choice for a gift.
Yeah, it would be a good gift. I'm not a big fan. I think that the caveat I would say about moisture meters is that if you do use one, and they can be very effective, make sure you test it every time before you use it. In other words, just take it and put it in a cup of water or something. Make sure that because sometimes they're very easy broken, the ones that I've seen. And if it's broken, you're going to be taking measurements, and you're going to get false readings for the water. So then you're going to either overcorrect or undercorrect on the watering based on that. So.
Well, I still want to talk about the watering problem, but I want to talk about Monogram and their wonderful appliances. And if you are remodeling or building, they don't have a problem with a long lead time. So if you forgot to order your appliances, you might be able to get them quickly. I suggest that you go to a showroom that has working appliances so that you can try them out, sort of like a mattress. You don't want to buy an appliance, bring it home, get it installed, and you have no clue. It doesn't fit your lifestyle. It's not functional for you. So try the appliances before you buy them. Go to a showroom and try them out. And I would suggest that you look at their website, monogram.com. Real easy to remember, monogram.com. You can see what kind of appliances they're introducing. I would not be too surprised if they are going to introduce more new appliances in February at the Kitchen and Bath Show in Vegas, because usually that's when all the new stuff comes out. So be aware. Otherwise, you could probably save money and buy this year's appliances knowing that the new stuff is coming out in February. Anyway, so as far as overwatering, this Christmas cactus that I keep bringing up, I'm so careful not to overwater, but it's kind of a succulent, and they say to stick your finger in. Well, the pot is only 4 inches in diameter, so there's not much room to stick your finger in there, but it does have really good drainage holes on the bottom, so that's important. Although when I have plants and I have a bigger pot, I put little pebbles at the bottom, and it usually has one drainage hole. But when you pour the water in, it's going to very quickly drop through the dirt right to the little dish that you have. Now, I read that it said, don't let it sit in water. So when I water my Christmas cactus, my little 4-inch pot, and I give it just a little bit of water, it drops through real quick, but then the roots absorb like within 5 minutes. Is that okay?
Yes. So a couple of things on that. First of all, the very, very best way that you can water a plant is to, if it's the right size, set it in the sink, water it thoroughly around the entire nursery pot, all sides of the nursery pot, let it drain, and then water it again, let it drain again. I mean, let it really drain so that it doesn't drip when you pick it up. And then that way it will never sit in water. So the entire root ball will be moist because you have, a lot of times what happens when the plant dries out, it pulls away from the sides of the nursery pot that it's in. And when you water it, the water just runs down the side and drains out. It's not getting the root ball wet. That's why it's important to water it a couple of times in the sink. I wouldn't do this manually if it's in a, you know, in a pot, in a big pot in your house, but the ones you can fit in your sink, water them a couple of times, let them drain really well, then put them back to, you know, on your shelf or wherever you're putting them.
So what if it is a big plant like a Dracaena or something that you can't carton over to your sink, then what do you do?
So what I would tell you then is, if assuming you have a drip tray, is go ahead and water it. And then give it a few minutes, like you have done with your 4-inch, to suck up a little bit of the excess. But what you don't want is to leave all that excess water in the tray. What happens, it sucks all that, everything that came out of the soil, it sucks it back up into the root system. So if you can envision, one of the visuals I talk to people about is, if you can envision a glass of salt water, and then the salt water in the glass, a clear glass of salt water, the salt water evaporates. What's left on the side of the glass, you'll see all the salt, right? Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what happens when the plant sucks. So all that salt, right, is in the soil, whatever things are in the soil, gets flushed out, but then gets sucked back up into the root system. So then you'll start seeing maybe some leaf spotting or some tipping going on if it sucks it up. So I don't want to make this too complicated, but the point I want to make is try to never let the plant sit in water very long. In other words, when you water it, let it sit in the tray, give it a few minutes just to kind of, you know, adjust for itself, and then get a baster or something and suck the excess water out of the tray.
I was going to say that my turkey baster is used for that.
Yep.
We can go talking for hours. I was going to say the pothos is a real easy plant to take care of. Mm-hmm. So if they want to give that as a gift, but sometimes they get leggy, you know, and that could be another show, because I think I've experienced everything in all the years that I have been a plant person.
Yeah.
You know, we can go on and on and on, but I think we're coming to the end. So I'll just let everybody know that, those Christmas cactus really make good plant gifts.
And they're just so pretty. And they're just so unusual. And this time of year is when they're more prolific than others. I would say go for it.
Yes, and they come in different colors. So go for that. Joe prefers that everybody stay away from poinsettias. And if you do get them, don't expect too much from those, especially the huge ones. You spend a lot of money on that, and they may not last. So, hey, I want to wish you a very happy holiday, Joe. Thank you very much for doing these podcasts with me.
Oh, thanks so much. I really enjoy doing it.
I just love talking about plants. So,
me too.
Well, then we have something in common. I hope everybody enjoyed today's show. And please subscribe on the platform that you're using to listen to these podcasts. And if you do have friends that need our help, please tell them to listen to the podcast. If you want to learn more about me, you can go to my website, nancyhugo.com. And if you have any questions about plants, you can email me, nancy@nancyhugo.com. I will pass them on to Joe. You will make his day. And Joe, again, thank you very much. Have a good Christmas.
Oh, thanks so much.
Everybody stay safe until next week. Bye, Joe.
Bye now.